Blog Talk Radio.
Pity, you are the apple of my eye.
You're the center of my world. You're the only one. You're the favorite one. Who is this as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners? Turn your eye away. Your eye has overwhelmed me. Who is this? Beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. I see strength in you. You see your weakness. I see strength in you. I know the end from the beginning. I know where this thing is going. You do love me. I know you love me. I know you love me even more than you know you love me. I know you love me. And I was not surprised by you.
Everybody, you are now tuning in to the Angels of Melody International with your host, Miss Angel on Deck. And I'm telling you, I am so just blessed to hear that song. I played it earlier. We had a show earlier with a sister calling in from California sharing testimony, and I played that song, and she said, wow, this song is like is what she needed to hear. And I don't know if anybody knows or ever heard of this song that had played, that played before. But we thank God for Misty Edwards. That's who that was, Misty Edwards, singing I Love You. And what I love about her is she sings in the prophetic. You know, God will give her something, and she just sings. And to hear a song like that, I'm telling you, when I first heard that song some time back, I broke down crying like a baby. Just to hear God say, you know what I'm saying, to just hear him say that it may be strange to us what our past was, what we went through, but it's not strange to him. He already knew, and he's been there, and how he's just married to us, and his grace and his mercy, you know what I'm saying, is up on us. And I'm telling you, if you just heard that whole song with the words, my God, it's just awesome. Just awesome how we have broken our vow to him, but he yet believed in us. Ain't that something, y'all? Because he already knew. He already know. It doesn't matter about our past and what we have done. Just like I mentioned last night on the radio, my aunt had told me, she said, you know, the Lord already know where we're going. He already know what's going on in our life. It's like we're actors just acting it out. And that is so true. It's like we're moving on in this thing. But he already know. He know when you're going to mess up. He just knows. He know when you're going to come out the struggle. He know what's going to happen in the next minute. He know what's going to happen in the next hour. And I just thank God today. I thank him. I thank him. Hallelujah. So right again, you're tuned in to the Angels of Melody with your host, Miss Angel on Deck. And I just thank God for his many, many blessings. I thank him for this great platform that he has given us to be heard all over the world. I thank him for that. Also, I want to give a shout out to all of you here in Detroit. We want to say God bless to all of you all in the different cities and states and countries, all of Africa. We want to say God bless you in Italy and the UK tonight. Those in Malaysia, we want to say God bless you in Brazil, in Mexico, and in the Caribbeans, wherever you may be in the cities and states. We want to say God bless to all of you there in California, all of California, all of Chicago, all of Texas, you know, all of St. Louis, wherever you are at. We just want to say God bless you. We have a great show on tonight. I'm telling you, I'm just excited about this program on tonight. I'm just bubbling up on the inside. It's just been awesome. It's just been power-packed for the past few weeks. I'm telling you, we just thank God for it. I want to give a shout-out to the CEO and founders and also the administrators of Tell Us Your Testimony on Facebook. I'm telling you, a lot of the great testimonies we have been hearing have started from there, and that's how we connected with our sister that's on tonight. Is through that page. Y'all need to look it up. It's called Tell Us Your Testimony. It has 3 sevens behind it. You got to go on. I think it's like over 6,000-7,000 members. It's a lot of testimonies. You cannot read them all. And I'm telling you, I've been sharing this for the last few weeks, that it's a great page. And I never had heard of it before, never saw it or nothing. And it was just one day I was just sitting down, laying down across my couch looking at TV. And I said, you know, I'm going to go on Facebook and see what's going on. And I went on and I saw it right on my wall. Someone had posted up. And when I saw that, Tell Us Your Testimony, I thought, let me go on here and see what this is about. My God, I'm telling y'all, when I say this, I'm not exaggerating. I sat there for 5 hours. Reading testimony after testimony after testimony. I was crying and praising God at the same time for those 5 hours. My eyes were like on swole. You know what I'm saying? Because I was giving God glory, reading these testimonies, and God would highlight different ones that he wanted me to connect with and get on the airwaves. And I did just that. And I'm telling you, for the past couple of weeks, nonstop, we've been having testimony nonstop on here. Yes, we do teach and we pray and we play music, but now testimony done got added in. And I'm telling you, I just thank God for that page. I thank God for connecting us with some great family around the world with some power-packed testimonies. Y'all can just go down my page and scroll down and you will see different shows, and when you click on it, it's just something. We've had people that called in and shared testimony that used to be in the gangs, got shot at, could have got killed, dope addicts. They used to be ex-dope addicts, died, you know what I'm saying, came back. I mean, you name it. It's been going on here, and we thank God. We had a sister on this morning, Sister Alicia Ann Swift there in California, and she shared powerful testimony on the things that she went through. And you know, the end of it was just so awesome. To I felt like I was really looking at the Lifetime story. I'm serious. I thought I was watching Lifetime Network because, I mean, the testimony she was saying was so awesome. It was going from one dimension to another one, to another. And, I mean, I was just like, wow. It's like I was painting the picture. It was like I was in there with her, you know, awesome. And we just thank God. And so I thank God for our sister on tonight. We want y'all to keep it locked on next week, because we have another great woman of God, Thursita Beale, there. I'm telling you, we thank God for her. She's going to be on. She's there in Houston, Texas. She's going to be on with us next week. Also, we have our sister, La Erica. We thank God for her of the anti-suicide campaign. My God, powerful testimony of her, how she come from that suicidal spirit had her. And we thank God for their website and what they're doing in the ministry. They're helping people in the church. Y'all don't know, it's people in the church going through that suicide, and many going through, you know, the domestic violence. We know domestic violence is all of October. I'm telling you, to me, it's every day. People is getting messed up. You see what I'm saying? Especially in the church. And you got ministries telling these people, you know, pray and stay. Ain't no pray and stay. You better pray and move. That's what that is. Because if you pray and stay, you might be laying down somewhere. Pray, stay, and lay. Laying in the coffin. So I'm telling you, we got to pray for one another, because you don't know who going through. It's people in the ministry that's going through, y'all, abuse, physical and mentally, spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And it's just something. But we thank God for our sister there in L.A., California, Los Angeles, California. And I want to give a shout out to everybody there, all of her friends and family that is listening in, and those that don't know are listening in from around the world. We just want to say God bless you on tonight. I'm excited about, like I said, the movement, what's been going on to this on this show. I have really been blessed, y'all. It's just really been a blessing. I'm being honest with y'all. It's really been a blessing on these airwaves and hearing this testimonies that's been coming forth. It just feel like every day that I'm hearing these broadcasts and testimonies, it just been inspiring me. So before we click her on, we're going to have a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this day that you have made. We just thank you for this great platform that you have given us to be heard around the world. And we just thank you right now for divine connection that you have given us to connect all over the world as family. And so now I ask that you will cover us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet in your blood, that you will cover every phone, every computer, tablet, whatever it is that your people is listening in all over the world, that it will not be any interruptions. And Lord, we just thank you right now for the fire being upon your daughter, your beloved, my sister. Lord, I thank you for her testimony. I thank you for how you brought her out. I thank you for this appointed time. And Lord, as she shared her testimony, that many people will be free and healed and delivered and saved on this show on tonight, God. We just thank you, and we give you all the praise. We ask that you meet every need. Many that's listening in right now is going through. I don't know what they're going through, but Lord, you know what they're going through and what their back is up against. So we just thank you right now for moving by your spirit even now, that you are opening up doors, that you are helping right now, that you are turning tears of sorrow into tears of joy, that you are restoring families even now. You're breathing into up on ministries that went dead. Something has happened along the way, but you're breathing your breath right now on your ministers around the world, God. We just thank you for it right now. And Lord, we just thank you. This program is totally ran by you, and we ask that you will have your way through the woman of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all. Y'all ready? We thank God. We about to click on our sister prophetess, Crystal. I'm a servant. Brown, I love that name. I'm a servant. Yes, Brown. And so we're going to click her on, and I'm telling you, we're just going to get prepared on this great, powerful testimony that we're going to hear on tonight. God bless you, sister. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I am blessed as well. Wow, I'm just very excited. If you can see me now, I have the Kool-Aid smile going on.
Yes, it's exciting. It's very exciting, for sure.
Yes, it is. So what I'm going to do, sis, I'm going to go ahead and let you reintroduce yourself and everything, and just go as God give you to go from the beginning to the end, what's going on now, the whole thing. If you want to, we can break you, you know, whenever you're ready, you can let me know. We'll go to a song and come back. However you want to do it.
Amen. Well, just as she said, I'm Prophetess Pastor Crystal Brown. On Facebook, I am Crystal, I'm a Servant Brown. And I've been pastoring now for maybe about 6 years or so. And it has been a trial, but it's been a blessing. And, you know, just like she said about the appointed time for God to bring you to a platform where people can really truly be delivered and be set free and be healed. We all have a set time for God to reveal our testimony, and not only our testimony, but our progress and process. And that's what I thank God for at this time.
Yeah.
My testimony is not simple, but it's become a blessing. It was not a blessing to me in the beginning from my own perspective, because when you're going through something and when you're hurt by something, you don't always see God in the middle of it. And
that's right.
That was exactly what my situation was. I was married in 2001 and to a man that I believe that God had totally sent into my life. And for those that have been married or are in the process of getting married, you know the process. You know, you fall in love with someone, you get to know them, and you get to a place where now you're walking down the aisle. And that's exactly what happened. You know, fell in love, whirlwind, and we began to live our lives together. Little did I know, later, maybe about 6 years later, we moved out of California, moved to the East Coast, and God really, really began to shift some things in my life. I had been in the evangelistic ministry for some years under my bishop, Ernest Johnson, here in California, but I was never really operating in that particular position. And a lot of us know how that is. We have a call in our lives, but sometimes the situations that we have in our lives doesn't really push us into that place. You know, we become stagnated, we become still. And in my marriage, my husband was very dominant. He was very controlling. And I didn't really even understand and know it at the time, because I was so in love with him and I cared about him. And I was like, this is a man of God and I have to be submissive and I have to, you know, follow his leadership. But when we don't follow the direction of the Lord, when we don't keep our focus completely on him and really truly do what the word says about killing the flesh daily, that old man can begin to rise back. And as we lived our lives a little bit, he began to stray from the Lord. I prayed him back, you know, because the Bible says that husbands and wives, we become one. And that means that you have the ability to pray your husband or your wife through the situations that they're going through, because we are one flesh. It's like praying for yourself, bringing deliverance to yourself. So we do have that power to do so.
Yeah.
It is an individual walk, but when we're married and our spouses have strayed away from God, we do have that ability. I don't know who out there is dealing with those kinds of situations, but you do have the ability to call the spirit of your spouse back into alignment with God. And I did that a few times, but yet and still, he still began to stray because his desire really, truly wasn't all the way towards God. And later on in our marriage, he had never been abusive. Never, ever been abusive. But in 2008, we had a situation to where it was right before Easter Sunday, and he literally lost his mind. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened exactly. I remember going to see him in the bathroom, and he had lost his mind. And every day from 7 days before Easter in 2008 up until Easter Sunday, he was getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm saying that because mental illness is something we also have to deal with, not just abuse and different things. And these are things that we deal with in the church. And instead of focusing on so many other areas, we need to focus really, truly on what individuals really need in the body of Christ. When Jesus walked this earth, he spoke to the individual need of each person he encountered. Each person needed something different from Jesus. And we as people of God and ministers of the gospel need to begin to truly minister to the needs of the people. I say this because my pastor at the time did not help me. My husband had completely lost his mind. We owned a 9mm gun. We had a canine, I believe, at the time, a German Shepherd, and he brought the dog to church that Easter Sunday morning. He brought the gun to church that Easter Sunday morning.
Wow.
And I did not know what to do. And this is just the beginning of this whole process. I'm going to go quickly,
yeah.
But I'm just showing you that I was in the body of Christ. I was saved. You know, I love the Lord, but yet and still these were situations that I was encountering that I did not know how to handle. And there are things
yeah.
that we can do as people of God. I ended up going to church that Sunday morning on Easter Sunday, and I sat in the church and I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me specifically, this is why we have to be so in tune with God and be sensitive to his direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
I heard the Lord tell me, reach into his bag, whatever was in his bag, take it out and leave. And I reached into the bag and I realized that the gun that we owned was actually in his bag at church that day. I was terrified because I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I trusted God and I took it home.
Yeah.
And by the time he got home that Easter Sunday, he was completely out of control. He was completely in manic depressive mode where he was in and out of the doors of my house, left all the doors open, everything. Long story short, he ended up getting arrested. And I called my bishop. I lived on the East Coast. My bishop was on the West Coast. And I asked him to pray because we weren't in a good place in our marriage either. So it was very difficult for me to want to stick around even through that hard time in his life. And my bishop prayed and he prophesied to me that day and told me, he said, 7 days and God is going to restore his mind once again. But you let him know that God wants him to completely be converted. And God
yeah.
did just that. Fast forward, you know, we stayed together for another year. And in 2010, he started slipping back into the world and back into his old ways again. And it's so funny how, just like the children of Israel, we forget what God has done for us previously. We forget
yeah.
the things that God has delivered us from previously. That's why we constantly have to keep before us the miracles that God has wrought in our lives. We have to constantly keep before us the great things he's done. Sometimes I write things down, and I keep them in front of me like this. Don't forget God did this. Don't forget God did that. And it reminds me to give him glory for each thing. In 2010, it's not difficult, but I just think about how good God is and how good he has been. We ended up splitting up because he became abusive. He had never touched me, never been abusive to me ever in our entire marriage. And this was year 10 we were married. And I was sitting in the car one day, and he literally started choking me. And he choked me to the point where I said, well, God, help me. That's all I could say. And he choked me so much to the point where I couldn't breathe, and I almost passed out in the car, and it was my sister's car. But God saw fit to have a neighbor come out and ended up stopping the situation. At that moment, I filed for a restraining order against him, and I moved out of our apartment because at that point I was scared for my life. And this is where a lot of people who are in abusive situations and violent situations, not just females with males, but also males with females as well, because this is the society we live in.
That's right.
They're afraid to walk away and get the help that they need. But I went and I got a restraining order, fearful for my life, and I moved out. He ended up moving away, and I was in my own place, you know, trying to recover and try to really wrap my mind around the fact that I was separated from my husband after 10 years. And I was still praying before God to restore our marriage, still praying before God and asking him, well, Lord, can you fix it? And sometimes we have to understand and that God knows all things before we do.
That's right.
And whatever decisions, when we ask him to give us direction and give us clarity, we have to be open to what God has to say. He's not saying these things to punish us or to hurt us, but he is trying to make sure that we don't encounter extra hardship than we absolutely need to. And we need to, once we ask him for that direction, we need to follow it and really trust that he knows exactly what he's doing. God is a God that never fails. He's a God that will never steer us wrong. And what better way to live this life than to live our lives connected to the person who knows our very future? Amen.
Yeah.
I received a phone call. He had been gone at that point for about 3 months in 2010. And I received a phone call from a friend in New York, and this was a prophet that I knew. And he told me, he said, the Lord showed me your husband was going to be back in town. And I was, and for a minute, I kind of got thrown back, but I took heed to the word, and I was just very watchful. And I still had the restraining order in place. It was a year restraining order. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from my landlord saying that my husband was back in town. And it was so amazing because it's like God warns you before things happen. We just have to take heed to that. So I ended up feeling a little sorry. He came by my job. I didn't really say much to him, but I decided that I was going to put him together like a little care package and some things like that. He wanted to come stay with me, and I said, absolutely not. And my sister and I, we went looking for him for about a week, could not find him. And we know the enemy will try to trap you and try to set you up for destruction and complete annihilation. We have to be so careful to be mindful of the devices of Satan. You know, I should have taken heed when we couldn't find him and just walked away, but I was determined to find him because I still loved him. He called me a week later and said he was outside of my house. And I went to my house to get him this care package, but little did I know he would force his way into my apartment. And because I didn't know how to react, I felt like if I picked up the phone to call the police, then something would happen to me. So I sat there and I prayed and I said, Lord, show me what to do. I fed him because I didn't know what to do. I talked to him a little bit. I called my sister just to give her a heads up that he was there. And I was a little bit fearful for my life, but I told her not to come to my house. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, and again, I cannot stress how important it is to stay connected to God. I heard the voice of the Lord so clearly tell me to get up from my couch, put my jacket on, and button it up all the way to the top. It was wintertime at the time, so it was really cold outside, and get my stuff and leave the house. I did exactly what the Lord told me to do, but I left my purse, I left my wallet, everything inside of the home, and I left out the house. He came out behind me, but I turned around to come back to grab my purse, and at that very moment, I heard the door slam, I heard the locks lock, I heard the bolt lock go on, I heard the chain go on the door. And when I turned around, I saw the struggle, the demonic struggle in him to do what it was that he was going to do. And he pulled out a knife. And what was so funny was the week before, I was going to buy a set of knives for my house because I had just moved in a couple of months before. But there was only one available knife at the store, and I didn't feel like looking anymore. And it was a small little paring knife. And if the knife had been any bigger, I probably wouldn't be able to talk this today. I probably would be in a grave somewhere. Mm. But because I only had a small knife, he pulled out that very knife from my own apartment on me. And he, at that moment, I know people would ask me the question of, well, what were you thinking at the time? No, I was not seeing my life flash before my eyes. No, I didn't think about anything else except for the fact that I said to the Lord, this is it. This is the end for me. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere for me to go. There's one way in to my apartment and one way out. Nothing. And I said to myself and to the Lord, I said, this is it. I'm dead. This is how I die. And I felt the peace of God on top of my anxiety and fear. I felt it, and I didn't realize it until after the fact that it was the peace of God that kind of kept me a little bit more calm. He lunged at me to try to stab me in the throat, and I grabbed the knife from him, and I grabbed the knife, the blade of the knife in my hand, didn't realize that as I was grabbing the knife and trying to keep it away from my face and my throat and all of those things that I was slicing my hand down to the bone. And switching hands, trying to keep it away from my vital organs and things like that. And my hands were completely mutilated to the bone.
Oh, wow.
And Jesus. My apartment was so small to the point where we wrestled around a little bit. And the hand of God, it was the hand of God that stopped him in his tracks. It couldn't have been, because he had a mission. The enemy had a mission to take my life. But it was God
my
that
Lord.
Stood in the midst and said, that's enough. This is enough right here. And I was able to unlock all of the locks of the doors and run to my neighbor's house. And they called the police and the ambulance. And once the police got there, I had so much adrenaline running through my body that the blood and the, you know, all the fact that my hands were completely cut to the bone, I couldn't feel anything except for I was just wanted to know why. I didn't understand why. And when the police got there, they're trying to ask me questions, and all of a sudden I saw smoke, and then my entire apartment blew up. He had set
my
apartment on fire. He had completely burned my apartment down. And my only thing that I could say was I prayed that there was a baby's room right behind my bedroom, and I prayed to God that that child wasn't in that room at the time. When I got to the emergency room, God is just so awesome. He's an amazing God, because even when we don't know how God is going to work it out, he is always there, 10 steps ahead of us, already working it out for us. And this is, and just to stop in the middle of this right now, everything that we go through, there was a purpose to it. God turns it around for our good, and it is so true. He turns it around for us. I did not know how God would work in this situation, because when I got to the emergency room, the detectives came in the room. I didn't know what they were going to say. They told me, well, Ms. Brown, you're quite calm for you to have been attacked. But I knew it was God and shock.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
God
yeah,
and
you're
shock.
Right.
That really
I can imagine,
me,
yes.
That really kept me kind of calm. And I looked down at my hands for the first time at that moment, and I realized how bad my hands were. And I could not cry. I could not shed a tear. I had no emotion at that time. My sister came into the room. She was crying, and she was boo-hooing, and I didn't know what to do. But the detectives came in the room and told me, started asking me questions. And I didn't really know why they were asking me questions about my ex-husband. But it was because in the midst of him about to burn my apartment down, he had stabbed himself in the chest 5 times. And then told the police that I had stabbed him. So they were to see if I would confess to something that I didn't do. And because he had slipped, they had put him into a medical coma, there would be no answers from him for about a week. So I'm sitting in the emergency room, and they said to me that I would never use my hands again, that I would never be able to use my fingers to function again. But God had a ram in the bush at the hospital. There was a Russian, a Swedish doctor, and she was a hand surgeon, one of the best hand surgeons in the world. Located in this little city that people probably haven't even heard of, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and Berkshire Hospital. This woman, one of the most world-renowned hand surgeons at that, on her way to the airport to take herself back home, was there, came down to my emergency room with her coat on, and she told me, she said, I'm going to sew you up so good that you won't see the scars, but you'll never be able to use your hands again. And at that moment, I just began to pray. And she did. She sewed me up so well that you can't see the scars. The only thing I have is the fact that I can't bend the top of my pinky, but it does not stop me from doing anything. God is an awesome God. God is a miracle worker.
Yes, he is.
He's a God
that
will take your pain, push you into your purpose, and cause other people to prosper because of what you've been through. And I was a hairdresser at the time. I thought I would never be able to do hair again, but I was able to do hair. I'm able to type. I think I type faster now than I did when my hands weren't scarred.
My God.
A week later, when my ex-husband woke up from his medical coma, he told the police that he had stabbed himself. And case closed at that point in time.
Yeah.
And at that point, I didn't know what God was going to do. I had no place to go. I had no belongings, nothing.
Yeah.
I had lost everything I owned, everything that I called my own, everything that I had tried to build on my own,
mm-hmm.
nothing. I had no ID, no Social Security card, nothing. And I was in a shelter, a women's shelter. And this is where
mm-hmm.
I began to walk into my purpose. And when I mentioned
yeah.
it on the testimony page about my pain pushed me into my purpose, it did.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the shelter, and I went down to what we call the piano room, and there was a lady and her her two children there. I wasn't supposed to get into the shelter because the shelter was for battered women and children. So it was for women and their children, not just for single women. But I got into the shelter, and I sat down there at the piano, and I began to hear the Lord heavily impress on me to minister to the woman that was sitting in the room with me. And I was angry at the Lord. I was angry with him because of what I had been through, the fact that I had lost everything, and I didn't understand how God could work in the middle of the situation. But the impression of the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy on me to minister to her that I was so angry, I turned around and I said, "Well, hi, how you doing?" And from that moment, the Spirit of the Lord took over the conversation, and I began to minister to her in the middle of me being in the same position she was, but I had a word from the Lord for her. So it doesn't matter the situation that you're in. It doesn't matter where you find yourself.
That's true.
Because if God is with you, he will use you in the middle of what you're going through. That's why we can never take it for granted where we are. If we're at our lowest point, believe me, God has you there so that you can minister
That's
to
right.
someone. Then when he brings you up higher, he has you there so that you can minister to someone. Use every platform that you have to make sure it brings glory to God, because as it brings
That's
glory
right.
to God, it will also bring glory to your life. It will bring an anointing
That's
and a
right.
power to your life to help not only bring yourself out, but to bring others out.
That's true.
I ministered to this woman in my anger, in my pain, in my distress. I ministered to her. And when she left, I cried. I ran up to my room, and I was angry, and I said, "I won't do this again." And the Lord told me in one word, in one sentence, "I've called you," and that's it.
Yes, my God.
That's all he said was, "I called you." And when I went back downstairs to get dinner, she came to me with a book, and it brought tears to my eyes because I realized at that moment, God, all I want to do is make sure that I please you in everything that I do, if it means that somebody can be delivered, if it means that somebody can be set free, if it means that somebody can walk away from where they are into a better place, if somebody will turn away from abuse, if somebody will turn away and walk away and have the strength to walk out of a situation, I would do it all again at this moment. She brought me the book, and everything that the Lord had ministered to her through me was written in this book. It was in her prayers. And God had answered every single question down to the T that she was asking the Lord about. And I went back up in my room, and my attitude changed, just like in the scripture where it talks about when Judah was about to be born. And she went to the Lord, and even though she had had Reuben and she had had these other children, when she got to the place where she was about to bear Judah, she said, "Now I will praise you." And that was my moment where the word of the Lord became real in my life. And I said, "God, now I understand. Now I get it." And from that moment, my ministry skyrocketed. The anointing of my life, even though I still dealt with the pain for 4 years, I dealt with anxiety. I developed small areas of asthma. I dealt with depression, you know, off and on for 5 years, but God still worked through my pain. He worked through it.
My God.
He worked through it.
My Lord. I'm telling you, that's my woman of God.
Amen.
I'm sitting over here so speechless right now. I feel like I'm on Lifetime again. A Lifetime. I'm telling you, girl, that used to be my channel right there. I'm telling you, then Hallmark took over, but you know, I started watching Hallmark. But that's what I'm telling you. That's, you know, we really don't get how we go through things. We really don't. It's unbelievable, you know. And it's something how we have attitudes, we get angry, we get upset, like, Lord, I thought you loved me. You know, I went through this. But I tell people, we all have a testimony, and we all go through different things. And life is not going to be sitting back eating strawberries and cherries for the rest of our days here on this earth, and we just not go through nothing. You know, we have to go through something, and some people go through worse than others. And God knows, you know, how much we can take and bear, and I really believe that. But then he has a time where, even in the going through, he's there with us. You know, he gave me a message that I had been ministering and everything, letting the people know that he said, I will be an umbrella in your storm. Yeah. I had went through a storm, and he spoke to me and called me by my name. He didn't say evangelist. He didn't say angel on deck, angel man. He said, Tanya, I will be an umbrella in the midst of your storm. And he said, it may rain. He told me to tell the people, it may rain. He said, you may get wet a little bit, but I won't let you drown. He said, the wind may blow heavy, but you will not be blown away. And he said, it may feel like you're in a hurricane, you in some kind of tornado. He said, but you will not be destroyed. And I thank God for you, sister, because you went through, yes, you did, you went through a storm. But look at God, you did not, the devil could not take you out. His plan, his schemes, he could not take you out. It failed. And here you are today, teaching God's word, praying, and sharing testimony about what God has brought you from. Ain't that something? I'm telling you. And that right there, to me, is just like a grenade blown in the camp of the devil. I'm telling you right now. It's something, you know, to see this. So, I mean, it's just awesome. You know what we're going to do? So you can regroup for a second. We're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come right back so you can finish up and let us know what happened, you know, even now in the ministry after that had happened and everything, what God was doing and what's going on, how you went to even how you are now. I'm telling you. So I'm going to go ahead, sister, and let you get a little breather. Right quick. I know how it can be to, you know, needing a break after all the talking and everything. And then right after this song, I'm going to click you right back on. Is that all right?
That's absolutely all right.
All right. All right, y'all. Y'all heard it. I'm telling you, we just thank God, our sister on tonight. This is a powerful, I'm talking about powerful, y'all, testimony. And you know what's really mind-blowing? Because of the simple fact, today she's not sitting in, you know what I'm saying, she's not sitting 6 feet under. She's not in a loony bin, so to speak. You know what I'm saying, in a straitjacket, on meds, and don't even know her name. My God, this thing is powerful. I'm going to be quiet because, see, I get stirred up of stuff like this. I get to going in, showing up. So I'm going to go ahead and go to this song so we can go back to our sister and hear the rest of this great testimony. I'm telling you, let us go to a song and we'll be right back.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. How is everyone doing? Before we sing, before we worship, I just want to share a testimony with you about this song. A year ago, I was singing this song, and a woman was going to be operated. It was a Sunday, so she was going to be operated. Then Monday, she had breast cancer. And as I was singing this song, I had a face towel, and I just heard God say, look at that woman and give her the towel and sing that song. And so that's all I did. So the woman took the towel and placed it on her where the cancer was. I didn't know what was going on. But as I kept on singing the song, there was a healing taking place in the woman's body. She went to the hospital the next day, and the doctor said, where have you been? There is no more cancer. It's a year now, and the woman is free of cancer. Another woman for 7 years was barren. And this same song made her conceive. He is a covenant-keeping God. Some of you, those of us who come from Africa, we would remember how we used to go into covenants with God before we do everything. In fact, some of you got here out of the covenant you went with God. But we get here and we forget the God that we went into covenant with. That is why we find ourselves in trouble, because we are forgetting the covenant that we had with God. But how many of you are ready to go back to that covenant keeping God? Sometimes it's okay to call him by his name. When you're in trouble, it's okay to say Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Nissi, El Gadol, Gibor Yareh, Adonai, Tshuva. Thank you, Jesus. Your name is Jehovah. Your name is Elohim. At the mention of your name, every knee must bow. At the mention of your name, every tongue shall confess that you are the covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. I want to sing it again. Your name is Jehovah. Your name is Elohim. At the mention of your name, principalities, witches, demons shall bow. At the mention of your name, every tongue shall confess that you are the covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. Somebody ever say, covenant keeping God. There is no one like you.
Alpha and Omega.
Alpha and Omega. There is no one like you. There is no one. Covenant keeping God. Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you.
He's the Alpha and Omega.
Alpha and Omega. There is no one like you.
Sometimes in times of trouble, this is what you got to do.
God of Abraham, you are the God of Isaac. You are the God of Jacob. God of Elijah. Now hear this. You answer by fire. You are the God of Daniel.
Oh, Kabate Kebrasi.
Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you.
Sometimes you just need to go on your knees and say,
God of Abraham. You are the God of Isaac. You are the God of Jacob.
Oh my God, my God.
God of Elijah. You answer by fire. You are the God of Daniel. Covenant keeping God. Oh, there is no one like you. Everybody say, covenant keeping God. There is no one like you.
Alpha and Omega.
Alpha and Omega.
Can the whole church lift up your voice?
There is no one like you. Covenant keeping God. Covenant keeping God. Nobody, 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 nobody. Nobody likes you, nobody likes you. Omega. There is no one. The Nigerians sing it like this. Shine ga kai gwe. Akone di kagi. Malite no gugu. And from my country, I sing it like this. Wudini Yehowa. Nawudini and Wutewunu. Opia Rantisa. Nana Prabra. Nana Prabra. Jassi Brakasa. Nana Wumrenye. Wumrenye. Bedini Wayamu. Benatifaya Mwe. Nana Kasawai. Kasawai. Very much Jesus, Kasawai. Covenant keeping God. There is no one like you. Alpha and Omega. There is no one.
Wow, I'm telling y'all, I love that song, Covenant Keeping God. That's by our brother Sonny Badu. I'm telling you, we just thank God for all of you all that are still listening in. You are tuned in to the Angels of Melody with your host, Miss Angel on Deck. And we thank God for our sister being on with us, Prophetess Crystal Brown, there in Los Angeles, California. And we're going to bring her back on to finish up her This powerful, I'm telling you, it's a powerful testimony. I'm just overwhelmed tonight. It just seemed like every time, sister, every show, I just be, you know, it's just like I'm just in the zone. I'm serious. It's like, wow, God, you are awesome, you know, to bring and to do what you do to your people around the world, bringing them up out of the storms. I'm telling you, it's just something. So I'm going to go ahead and let you continue. I just wanted to give us a little break right quick. But, okay, so you can go ahead.
Well, I mean, this, the last portion of that really, you know, I began to develop some things in my body that really was accounting to stress. And this is the reason why the Lord tells us to cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us, because he doesn't want us to encounter things within our body that would cause us not to be able to accomplish the goals, not only in our lives, but in our ministries, and be able to meet our destiny. I had very bad anxiety attacks. I couldn't listen to the name of my ex-husband without having a literal anxiety attack, to the point where I was terrified to go out of my house, terrified to live alone. I was just really in a bad space, but yet I knew that the Lord had called me. I knew that the Lord wanted to use me, but I didn't know how to exactly let things go. And what I began to develop later on was a way to minister to churches and to help them to develop ways to help those that are dealing with domestic violence and domestic abuse, because my church at the time, my pastor at the time, had no clue on how to help me. I don't blame them for anything. I have no ill or animosity in my heart towards them, but because they did not know how to handle my situation. They didn't know what to do except for to pray. And prayer, yes, it changes things, but we have to learn now to also give people some answers and connect them with people that can help them get out of certain situations, especially when we deal with domestic violence and domestic abuse. staying in the situation could cost you your life. Continuing to deal with the abuser, whether male or female, can cost you your life. Because those spirits that we deal with, those spirits are after us to take the life. And we need to begin to learn how to help people to detach and help people and to encourage them to get into a safe place. At the time, like I said, I was in the shelter. I stayed there for a little while, but then I moved in with my sister because I did not want to live alone. And the Lord did bless me with an apartment, but I could not live by myself. Majority of the time, I stayed with my sister, you know, or at work. I went back to work even though I couldn't use my hands right away. I just needed to be around people. I didn't want to be by myself. And in the time that I did have my own apartment, I began to lean more and more on God. In the middle of that, I dealt with anger. I dealt with depression. And again, I dealt with anxiety and all of those things that come with that. And I did not know where to turn. I didn't know what resources were available to me. And there are resources available to people that are dealing with domestic abuse, even inside of the body of Christ. And that's something we have to deal with. We have to deal with that the people of God are suffering with these natural things and learn how to point them in the right direction using spiritual and natural guidance. And that's what I do now at this point. I became a pastor maybe during the same year. God began to draw people to me. And it wasn't because I was telling my testimony. Some people knew of my testimony, but my ministry and the anointing of my life became more intense for where God was bringing me to. And that goes to show you, just like when Joseph was put into the pit, you know, he was brought out of the pit after all those situations to be brought into the palace to begin to do something greater than what his pit experience showed that he was capable of. And that's something that we all have to understand, that even though we might be in a pit kind of situation, God is preparing us for a palace experience.
Yeah.
You know, and to bring us into a greater anointing and a greater part of our ministry. Your platform might not be preaching in a pulpit, but you know what? We have souls that we can minister to in our testimony. The Bible says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That means deliverance can come by you telling someone about how God brought you through, how you escaped the snare of the enemy. And it would be 4 more years before I would even be able to open up my mouth and tell my testimony. And 4 years was actually last year. And I went to a service and I told my testimony out loud to people for the first time since the ordeal, since 2010. But in the meantime, I started a church, I started a ministry, you know, the ups and downs of ministry, but yet and still, I never lost my relationship with God, never lost my praise. You know, and that's one thing I do is I continue to worship. I continue to praise God because it could have turned out to be another way. You know, and that's something we always have to remember. It could have been another way. It could have been another outcome, but God saw fit to turn the situation around so that we can use it for, not for tragedy, but for a testimony. Later on last year, I started developing a program for churches, to where I would go in and I would speak to them about how to develop their resources and things like that for the people that are not only in leadership, because people are dealing with domestic abuse even in leadership now, and it's been covered up for so many years. Now it's time for us to deal with those situations so that the church and the body of Christ can worship freely and praise freely and worship God the way that they should, without all of this heaviness on them. People are losing their lives in the church because we don't deal with these situations. And then I'm now working with my job as well to develop policies and procedures on how the workplace can help those dealing with domestic abuse. So God has really taken my testimony and brought it to a whole nother level for my ministry. Because God gets glory from my testimony, no matter where I go, whether it's a secular audience or whether it's a spiritual and godly audience, my testimony is still giving glory to God. My ex-husband, he ended up getting 4 years probation in a mental institute. And he was going. He was supposed to get reevaluated after 4 years. 4 years would have been last year, maybe around the summertime. Mm-hmm. And before mm-hmm. he could even get to the fourth year, he got picked up on a different charge and got 25 years in prison. And I mean that.
Wow.
Yes, it would seem crazy for other people, but that was a blessing in disguise because then I didn't have to worry. I didn't have to stress about anything coming back to me. And God worked even in that situation. And I would encourage anyone who's dealing with domestic abuse or domestic violence, whether you're male or female, to find your way to someone who can help you. There are shelters. There are resources that are available to you that will help you to gather yourself. Mm. Whether you feel like you can't financially bear the burden, there are resources available that I did not know of in the beginning that I know of now. That especially mm-hmm. with the different changes in Congress and different things like that. But God really has turned things around in my life. And right now I can stand to say that I can tell my testimony without having anxiety attacks. I haven't had an anxiety attack in over 2 years. I don't battle with depression to the level that I used to, nowhere near. Because when that spirit of depression comes into my life now, I know that the enemy is trying to bring me to a place where I stop doing what I'm doing for God, stop reaching towards reaching other people, because that's why the enemy fights us so hard. He fights us to stop us from helping people to come out and be delivered and live freely.
That's right.
So God has really, really brought my ministry to another level. I pastor now in a ministry. We travel a lot. I have a minister in Massachusetts now at this point, and some of my ministry is here as well. We are called the Apostolic House because we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the works of Jesus Christ and the works of the apostles, because I'm mm-hmm. such a believer in the fact that God is still a miracle-working God. I saw him stay the hand of a murderer, so I know that God can do anything. I've seen him deliver me when it should have taken my life, so I know that God is a miracle-working God. You know, and there's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that he cannot handle. I don't worry about my finances anymore, because if I didn't die in the midst of what I didn't have nowhere or to escape, and God made up a way of escape there, finances mean nothing. I don't worry about material things anymore because I've seen God give me double than what I had. He restored the vehicle that I had. He restored my apartment. He restored my finances. I make more now than I've ever made before in my life. From the moment the day after everything happened, I was never broke. I can say to this day, I was never broke, because God made sure that he took care of me, because I still worshiped him. One thing I pride myself in and I pride God in my life is the very next day after the ordeal, I was in the house of God. I didn't care. The devil was not going to defeat me. Satan was not going to hold me back from being in the presence of God.
Why. Yes.
And I could barely drive the car, but I was at church that Sunday morning. It happened on a Saturday morning. I was in the emergency room Saturday morning. I was at the precinct Saturday night, but Sunday morning came, and I was in the house of God. I drug myself there just to show God, I thank you for delivering me. I thank you for keeping me. Thank you for being
thank
there for
you.
Me, even in spite of all
thank
the wrong
you.
That I had done. Because don't think that I was in a perfect place. I just came out of some situations, but God still saw fit to deliver me.
Yeah.
He still saw fit to say, look down on me and say, I have purpose in you. There is greatness in you. There's
thank
destiny
you,
that must be fulfilled in you. So my words to anyone that might be listening is, don't worry about where you are. Still press forward. Still press forward in
that's
God.
Right.
Still reach
hallelujah.
For the things that God has called you to do, because it doesn't matter how far you think that you've gone. It doesn't matter how far away you think that you are from him. If you just reach out a little bit, God will move the rest of the way. It doesn't. The
that's
enemy
right.
can't take you and pluck you out of his hand, because there's purpose for you. There's destiny
right.
lined up in you. And it has to be fulfilled. It must be fulfilled, and that's what I thank God for, that my ministry now, I play no games with the enemy. Every place that I go, I come to defeat the enemy. Every platform
that he gives
me, I come to let the devil know that I'm coming to take your territory. Every platform
he gives me,
I let the devil know that every voice and every soul that sits under my voice, I'm coming to take them back. If they lost place in God, I'm coming to make sure that they know that God still loves them. I'm coming to let them know that God still cares
for
them. He can help them through this situation no matter what.
Hallelujah.
No matter what.
You about to get me stirred up over here. I'm sitting on my hand.
He's about to get me amped up now. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God.
Yes.
And we have to stay encouraged. You know, we can't look at the people.
We
can't look at anything else around us, but we got to look at the fact that God still loves us and wants to use us for his glory.
Yes,
he wants to use us. And no matter where we are, he's gonna use our pain to push us into our purpose, to bring us prosperity, and to also help to bring prosperity to someone else's life and to show someone else that they have purpose as well. God is able. But no matter what time, I should not have been able to open up my mouth and say another word. The devil wanted me not to be able to have another platform to do anything. But every time I'm able to open up my mouth and give God glory, it's the moment that I've come to let the devil know, you should have killed me when you had a chance. You should have took me out of here when you had a chance. But now that I'm here,
thank you,
I'm going to make sure that God gets the glory and somebody gets the glory.
Oh, yes, God. That's right. That is right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, I feel the fire of God. I'm just like a broken Raglan right now, just crying and praising God. What a testimony. You know what I'm going to do, sister? Because normally I would say a prayer for the people, but I'm going to go ahead and do something different tonight. I'm going to go ahead and let you pray for those that are listening
now
that are going through something. I'm going to go ahead and let you let loose and pray.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We come to you as humbly as we know how, God. We repent for anything that might hinder this prayer on tonight, oh God. But Lord Jesus, we lift you up. We glorify your name, and we ask that you penetrate this line. We ask that you penetrate the airways right now for your glory, Heavenly Father. Lord, we honor you tonight. We honor you today because we know that you are a miracle working God, and I ask that you would begin to go into every home, into every place where every ear is listening, and those that will listen in, Lord God, to the recording later on, God, let your anointing begin to give them the ability to come out. Lord God, give them the strength to be able to walk away from the things that you don't have for them, God. But Lord God, we ask that you would begin to deliver and set free your people tonight. We ask that you would begin to show them that you love them and you care for them right where they are. We thank you for showing them purpose in the middle of their pain. We thank you right now, Lord God, for every tear that they've shed, that you will give them double for their trouble, that the enemy is defeated tonight, that Satan is under their feet. We thank you right now, Lord, that you've given us authority and power over every demonic force, every principality, every power, everything that rules in high places, everything that might be even in the airways around them, God. We begin to saturate it with your anointing, saturate it with your power. God, we release your angels into every home, into every place where they are, God.
Thank
give them strength, God. Heal the broken heart. Heal the mind. Bring the mind back into alignment. Bring the body back into alignment, God. Lord God, somebody that's in an abusive situation, God, give them the strength, Lord God, to begin to walk away, God, and give them the strength right now, Lord God, to never turn around, knowing that there's purpose, knowing that there's destiny that they must meet, God. Lord God, somebody needs to know tonight that you are a healer, that you are a deliverer, God, and we thank
you
and we praise you. We thank you for the ministry that are rising up in your people. We thank you for the remnant of your people that will hear tonight, God, that will hear this word, oh God, that will hear these testimonies, God. We thank you for our system,
God.
Oh God, that has even been given the platform to give to others, God. I thank you for an immense blessing, God. I thank you for a double portion. I thank you for an anointing. I thank you for your power that will saturate even her home, God, that would begin to change all things around her, that would begin to move in her finances, that would begin to line everything up, God, right
right
God.
Now in the mighty
yes,
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus, even healing in her body
yes,
from the crown of her head to the
yes,
soles
God.
Of her feet,
thank
God,
you,
that
Jesus.
You would bring into alignment her family even now, God.
Oh,
everything
God,
that fights
yes,
against
Lord.
Her purpose, God, we rebuke it
yes,
in the mighty
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. Everything
yes,
that fights against your
you,
people's
Jesus.
Purpose on this line,
thank
God,
you,
bring it and break
yes,
it
God.
Now. Break the back of the enemy before
yes.
us, oh God.
Yes,
Lord
God,
and
thank
this
you,
we give you glory. For this we give you praise.
Oh, yes,
and
God.
We dare not come into your presence without worshiping you and praising
yes,
you
Lord.
And giving you what's due unto your name, God. We thank you for your
yes.
delivering power.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord.
You for your pushing
thank
us
you,
into
Lord.
Our purpose. We thank you for opening our eyes
thank
on
you,
today,
Lord.
God, to see you working
yes,
in
God.
The midst of everything
you,
that's going on around us.
Yes,
and Lord, we thank
yes.
you and we praise you and we glorify
you.
Your name, God. For this
oh,
we give you
yes,
glory.
God.
For this we give you honor. For this we give you praise.
Yes,
in do. Jesus' name we pray. Amen
yes.
and amen.
Amen. Powerful prayer. Yes. Amen.
Jesus.
I'm telling
thank you,
this is, my God, this is just something. I just feel just drunk in the spirit right now. I'm serious. I'm just
thank
so
you.
Overwhelmed with just peace. I thank God.
Thank
I'm
you.
Telling you, it's just awesome. Sometimes I ask God, I say, Lord, you know, I know you called me to do this and everything, and it just gets tiring and tiring, but
mm-hmm.
it just seems like every time I look up, he just shifts this radio show, this ministry period, you know, into
thank
something
you,
else. It's just like it's go to one to another one, but I know it's all him. And with this testimony that's been going on, it's just been nonstop since every week. It's just been
amen.
Nonstop. And I'm telling you, I just thank him for this platform, and I just thank him that I have an obedient spirit, you know, to what
amen.
He tells me to do and to not
mm-hmm.
go against it. Even with that testimony page, you know, he gave me to go on, I go on, and he highlight them names. He want people he want me to get in connect with to get the testimony heard on radio. I do just that. I don't ask no questions or nothing.
Yeah.
I just say, yes, we going to do this. And every time, it's just been a blessing. I'm telling you, it's been a blessing,
amen.
A blessing. And I'm still receiving people with coming with testimony saying this and this. And blessing them in the ministry that people God is just blessing them with the testimonies. They're going through the same thing or went through the same thing. And it was just awesome. Even to hear the sister this morning, she kept saying she was
mm-hmm.
so nervous and she was just so scared and sick to her stomach. So that's nothing but the spirit of the enemy. You're going to overcome this thing.
Mm-hmm.
As you speak, you're going to move forward. And we was on the radio for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, you might have said you was nervous. I said, well, sister, you didn't sound like it. You went forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that strength. You know, she went forward.
Yeah.
I said, is she nervous? Okay. I don't know. I said, I hate to see it, but you not nervous. Because she was letting go. And I thank God, you know, for you, sis. It's a divine connection. And it's not going to stop
yeah.
here. I believe that this divine connection is not just we hear Prophetess Crystal on the airwaves tonight and we don't talk no more. No, I believe
mm-hmm.
it's more than that. It's a reason. Not just, it goes beyond this radio. I really believe that. I really believe
amen.
It. And I just thank him in any way I can help to promote the ministry, sister. I'm here. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I'm here. Anybody want to get connect with you? Where do they look you up, or do they email you or look you up on Facebook? What can you give like a contact for anyone that may
absolutely.
Say, hey, I want to get in connection?
Absolutely. One, I'll tell you that if you're within the United States of America, those that are dealing with domestic violence, there is a hotline for you that's 24 hours. It's 1-800-799-7233.
Mm-hmm.
That is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Call it.
Okay.
They will help you in whatever state that you're in. That's within the United States of America. For those that are dealing with domestic abuse and domestic violence, male
mm-hmm.
or female, they will help you. As far as
yeah.
my ministry, for our ministry, you can look us up on Facebook by my page, Crystal, I'm a Servant, Brown, or you can
mm-hmm.
email me at liveoutmen, that's LiveOut as in Tom, M as in Mary, IN as in Nancy, @gmail.com. That's the way you can get in contact with me or my administrator. And we'll definitely, I want to connect with people. And that's, again, liveoutmin, liveoutmin at gmail.com.
All right. I'm telling you, it's just awesome. Like I said, I just thank God. And, you know, I'm going to say a quick prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your beloved daughter, your sister. God, I thank you. I ask now that you would just restore back the virtue that she has put out on tonight, God, that you would just put it back in her, give her strength, God, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And I thank you, God, for even more doors opening, divine doors opening to her, oh God. I thank you that she's sitting in your spoilness and that you will continue to bless her with your best. God, I thank you. You told me that, and I'm, Lord, I'm extending it to her. And Lord, I thank you right now for how you're moving by your spirit in her life. I thank you for how you brought her out of danger, God. I thank you, Lord, that you brought her out where death didn't touch her, oh God. We just thank you now. We thank you for your divine purpose being up on her life. And, Lord, tonight, as she lay down to sleep, God, I ask that you will continue to hold her in your arms, oh, God, and endow her, God, in your kisses. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that there will be no retaliation and there will be no backlashing in the camp of the enemy. But, Lord, I thank you right now that a grenade was thrown tonight and that it blew up, hallelujah, the very spirit of fear in the name of Jesus, the spirit of abuse that your people that's going in right now, God, I thank you, hallelujah, for the angels being posted. And, Lord, we ask right now that you will continue to bless your daughter, oh God, in divine blessings, oh God, that she will never lack, that she will always have, and Lord, that she will have even greater than she have now. She thinks she got something now, but Lord, we thank you that she have still not seen yet, Lord. She still haven't heard yet, but God, we thank you that you're going to put her up pretty, oh God, in the name of Jesus, where she will sit back and be amazed, saying, Lord, how in the world did this happen? And Lord, we will thank you, because it is purpose. Lord, you knew her in her mother's womb. You purposed her in her mother's womb. And Lord, we thank you that despite of what happened in the past, God, that she is your great daughter and she's walking in wealth, oh God. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I even ask, even in her hands, God, I ask that you would just blow more of your fire into those hands, into the veins right now, God. In the name of Jesus, that even when she ministers, oh God, that all she got to do is just put her hand up and wave it, oh God, and the people will feel your fire, God, that they will see your glory in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that she's armed and dangerous in you, oh God. Hallelujah. That no weapon formed against her, that it will not prosper. It will never prosper in the name of Jesus. And every assignment of the enemy, that it will fall, God. Hallelujah, will fall and break into pieces, God. Lord, we thank you for it now. And Lord, I ask now that your people that is listening in, that you will protect them, protect us all on tonight as we sleep. Cover us, God. Cover our house from the top to the bottom, oh God. Loose your angels in every room, on every floor, in the name of Jesus, and give us sweet sleep on tonight and good rest in the name of Jesus. That when we wake up in the morning and open up our eyes, God, that we can fellowship in you. Hallelujah. That we can open up our mouth and say, Lord, I thank you for yet another day. Despite of the problems I'm going through, despite of the issues, you are still God. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you that you're bringing us out. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sister. It was such an honor to have you on these airwaves, and I look forward to having you back on again. I'm part of another station called Worship Center Radio, so I don't want y'all thinking this. Think I don't went crazy when I get in contact with you and say, can you call in and share a testimony on that station? We thank God on that station. It's 50 countries that is featured on that station. And so I'm on there every Thursday. I'm on here every day of the week, but I'm on there too on Thursdays. I wasn't just there today. I had to send them a show because I knew what I was doing on tonight, and I just couldn't make it down there. But, don't think it's strange if I call you and say, sister, we need you to call in on a Thursday night and share, you know, again, because that's what's going to end up happening. I just thank God that what we do on this station, we also share on the other station as well.
And so I just thank God for you. And I'm just so encouraged on the day. I'm telling you, we always think that we go through issues and we go through problems, but don't they always say it's some people going through more than we going through? And I'm telling you, some people could not have endured what you went through. It definitely was God. Because I'm as you was telling me what was going on, I kept sitting here thinking, Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved, because if it wasn't for me, honey, he would have been found mafia style in the bag. Because he would have been jacked up. That's how I'm thinking all kind of thoughts, and I'm saying, God, forgive me. I know I ain't supposed to be like, you know what I'm saying? But look where he
is. God
got him where he needs to be. God got him where he needs to be. And thank God that he's in there, because he could be dead today. You know what I'm saying? So many people that I know that have did abuse, a lot of times when you ask the person, well, where are they today? They say, oh, he's dead. And you think, oh, wow, you know. So we pray that God will save him in that prison.
Yeah.
My God.
Amen.
I'm telling you that
just
his soul
like Jesus gave
will
Judas
not
an
be
opportunity.
Lost. Yes, because
Jesus
you know what? A lot of
Judas
people look at it like,
to repent.
Yes. Amen. And you know what? A lot of people feel like, oh, he did that to her. Oh, he need to die. He need to be saved. He need to be saved.
Yes.
He still is a soul. My God, look at what we have done. It's things that we have done. I know it's things that I have done. The book should have been thrown at me. By us just not heeding to the voice of the Lord years ago, he could have just said, you know what, since you ain't studying me, I'm just going to take your breath in the midnight morning or the midnight hour. But he's not that type of guy. We look at it like that. Like, if it was me, I'd take his breath, I'd do this. But no. I thank God for your safety system. I'm telling you, it's
thank
a powerful testimony. A powerful testimony. I said, y'all stuff is so powerful, this need to be heard on Oprah Winfrey. I'm praying for live doors like that to open up where y'all can be seen. I'm serious on these TVs. I be praying that every time. I say, God, let a supernatural door, something that can be seen through Oprah Winfrey or some well-known station that can be seen, because people need to hear this. People need to hear that it is a way out. They need to see it is a way out and that Jesus can save your soul from hell.
Yeah.
Yes, he can.
Yeah.
Through it all, he can save you. You don't have to necessarily go through abuse and then say, I done got out of abuse, now I'm abusing people. No, that spirit can be stopped. That spirit can be canceled. That spirit can be canceled even off your children. I've heard some people say, I done got my behind beat. I'm praying for Sally because Sally going to go through the same thing. No, she ain't going to go through the same thing. In Jesus' name, he ain't going to go through the same thing. Your son not going to go through the same thing. Because we know that God has them covered. That's how we got to pray. We can't look at it like, oh, our children is going to go through the same thing because we went through this or we did that. No, they're not. Just like I'm going to share this real quick, and I'm saying it for a reason. Just like real quick, when I was out there in the world, you know, my dad is a preacher, and I was raised up in holiness, but then I decided at a certain age that I wanted to get out there with the gangbangers and the drug dealers and all that kind of stuff, and I started drinking and was married, you know, to a drug dealer and everything, and then he got murdered, and I became an alcoholic, you know, and then I became abusive. Now, let me share this real quick. A lot of the women, a lot of y'all went through abuse. I was an abuser, abusing men, beating on men. Can y'all believe that? Men don't come to the front like the women, because some of them feel like, oh, you know, wow, I, you know, if I say something, they gonna think I'm weak. But hey, I was one of those. I never got beat, never been abused, but that spirit got a hold of me because I was angry of my husband leaving up out of here the way he did. And I felt like, you know, every man, it was his fault, every man. So I used men and got what I wanted, and then I want to beat them. I beat them out of the clear blue. I wake up in the middle of the night choking you, everything, wanting you to die. I mean, I had hell in me, and I became an alcoholic. But then when God delivered me from all of that, I began to see my son, my oldest boy, start all that drinking. And I looked at him the other day when he came over my house, and I laughed. Because I knew then he was hiding. And he said, what's wrong, Mama? I said, no, nothing. You're going to be all right. You're going to be preaching and you're going to be doing what God said you're going to do because I saw it. But then I had to go and attack that devil. I said, you know what? You think you slick. I said, my children will never follow that spirit of drinking in Jesus' name. They will not encounter the being abuser and being abused. And I began to speak that over my children because some people feel like just because you went through something, your children going to encounter that. That's not so. Because we have the authority. We have that dunamis power in our mouth to speak that thing not to be in Jesus' name. And so I'm saying that to just let someone know on tonight that it doesn't matter what you went through. That don't mean your children, because I hear that a lot. You know, oh, I got beaten. I was going through abuse, and my children going to end up going through it. I'm in fear they're gonna, something going to happen with them. That's not true, because we have the authority to overcome that. And like you said, with the anger, it's a spirit of the enemy that really sets up assignments and people to destroy one another. That's basically what it is. We can't even look at your ex-husband as him as a person in that. We have to look at that demon, that spirit that wanted to attack you because he knew that you was going to be who you are today, a firebomb shell in God. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So he would try to use anybody. If he could use a dog to kill you by just one bite, he will. You see what I'm saying? But I just thank God that you are living and doing what God has ordained you from your mother's womb to be, despite of what went on. And I just say, keep on pressing on, sister. Keep on pressing on. I'm telling you, I thank God for your life, and it's going to be even more mind-blowing. And we will talk one day, and you will tell me some things probably. Girl, guess what went on? Look what God has done. I believe it. He's going to do it, and it's going to blow your very mind. You ain't seen nothing yet. To me, I feel you just got your feet.
You're
just getting wet. But I thank God it's nothing compared to what God is going to continue to do for you, sister. I'm telling
you. Thank you.
I thank God for you. Is there any last remarks you would like to say before we go off of here?
No, I'm just grateful for the opportunity to come, and I thank God for you just being obedient to God and opening up this platform just for me to be able to tell my testimony. I appreciate you for that, and I'm definitely going to keep you in prayer and the ministry in prayer as well. So, and that's it. I'm excited about what God is going to do.
Amen. Me too. I'm excited myself. And you know, when we get off this show tonight, you can keep resharing the links to those that maybe missed it. They can listen to this show. They can click on that same link that's posted on your page around this time this year and still be able to hear it. And you also can download the show. So I want to make that mention to everybody listening in that they can keep resharing the links. Those that missed out, you can click on the links and you can still listen to it tomorrow or next week. And also, like I said, the show is downloadable, so you can open up the link and you will see up at the top in the right-hand corner where it looks like a little cloud, and there's an arrow that sticks right there. I'm saying it because a lot of people have asked me, like, where do you download? When you open it up, you can't help but see to your right. It's like a little small cloud. And it has a line there, and you click on that, and you can download it, put it on CD, have it in your phone or your computer or whatever. You can have that copy yourself. And that's what I love about Blog Talk Radio, because some stations don't do that. So I'm excited about that. So in saying that, I just want to say once again, God bless you, sister, and I look forward to talking with you soon.
Amen. And I as you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, y'all. Y'all heard it. I'm telling you, a powerful, I'm talking about powerful pet demony on tonight. Y'all see that? I'm speechless. I couldn't even probably get it out. But we thank God for you all tuning in. We want y'all to tune in on tomorrow evening. We will be broadcasting live church in the park. I'm telling you, it's just going to be awesome with Worship Center Radio and also the Angels of Melody. So I just want to say God bless to all of you all that have listened in all over the world. God bless you. Stay encouraged. Be encouraged. And always remember, don't live good to die bad, but live good to die great in Christ Jesus. Taking us off the air is our sister in Nigeria, Sabina, in Worship Medley. God bless you all. Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and get about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire.
He reigns with fire in his eyes. Awesome love, awesome love. Hallelujah.
He rules,
oh, he rules
with power and might.
With power and might.
He is the awesome God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, Piram, help me.
Thank you. You know what David said? He said, once I was young, now I am old. I have never seen the Lord change. Nobody can love me like God. He is not just an awesome God. He is the awesome God. Give him the fruit of your lips. So open your mouth. Of your awesome presence, and we also worship.